Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist, and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today. We are here to celebrate life, to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And we have another thrilling show that I'm so excited to be part of today. The theme is Tapping into Our Genius. We will look at harnessing your story for personal and business branding for success, harnessing gratitude for success, and creating the real you roadmap. So some fantastic things, starting with my very first special guest, Christian Herron. Christian is a storyteller and brand strategist. Christian helps business owners communicate their true value by crafting their personal brand story. She is going to share her strategies for getting in touch with our own personal narrative to create success in our lives. Thank you so much for being here, Christian.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled. So I know Christian, and I think everybody kind of has an understanding that we live storied lives, and narrative is found in all forms of human creativity and art. It's in speech, and it's in songs, it's in writing, it's in film, theater, I mean, visual arts, it's everywhere. Narratives can also be found in oral storytelling. I mean, so many native cultures and indigenous cultures has been oral history and narratives is just so much a part of their infrastructure.
Right.
And it's used to guide children on proper behavior, cultural history, formation of community identity, values. So it can act, and really it's very powerful for us, and it's, you know, so why is it so important for us to tell our story, and what benefit does that give us?
I think it's really important to tell your story and, first of all, understand your story, because so many people lose touch with what their true value is. And if you're able to really hone in on what your story is, the things that you're good at, you know, what your values are, what makes you you, essentially, then what you're doing is you're creating those connection points with people who are hearing your story, listening to your story, and it actually invites people into your world. So that's just one of the big reasons why I so encourage people to share their story, because you never know how, you know, an experience, a lesson that you can share is going to land with someone.
So that's really, which we were talking about just earlier, that in my work is about the journey to the self, and that's a story journey. And we have, I mean, really, we have so many stories.
We do.
So when you're saying that, where do we begin? Because we have the story of our childhood, and of course, whatever years we've lived, we have, I mean, infinite stories.
Yeah, I think it's a really great question, because I know a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I feel like I have such an eclectic background. What part of my story should I share? Where do I begin? And, you know, my suggestion is to look for a pivotal moment in your life that you feel like would benefit someone else. So it could be an experience that was transformational in your life, if you feel comfortable sharing it, or with like a lot of people who are uncomfortable with, you know, sharing about themselves directly, then I always tell people to really exercise that storytelling muscle by telling a story about something or someone else that doesn't involve you directly. And what that does is it gets you very comfortable in the storytelling format, and then you're able to then apply it later on to yourself when you get more comfortable sharing things about yourself. So to answer your question, it really depends on where you are in terms of how comfortable you feel telling your story. So if you're uncomfortable, like I said in the beginning, start by talking about someone else or something else. You know, I'm an introvert, and some of the things that I used to do before I got comfortable sharing my own story is I would tell stories about my dog. You know, little anecdotes that I could share with people that sort of gave a little bit of a view into who I was, but also got me comfortable in sharing my own voice. So I think that's really important in the beginning. And, you know, you're right, we have the myriad of stories. We don't just have one story, but I think if you approach storytelling with intention, you know, it really depends on who you're going to be speaking to. So is it in a meeting, at a, you know, a round table, or is it in front of a potential client? Is it with someone that you would like to impress? It really depends on what the intention is of sharing your story. And my advice, my best advice, is to start where you feel absolutely comfortable. You don't have to bare your soul to people, but what you really want to get comfortable doing is to be a little bit vulnerable so that, you know, you're lowering your wall and the person that's listening to you is lowering their wall, so that you're really creating a window of opportunity to sort of make those connections.
So in terms of so we're targeting what we're telling our story for. So, and this is in terms of our professional life, and it can be in any aspect of our professional life, be it entrepreneurs or someone going into work, basically branding ourselves professionally, whatever our career path is, or whatever we're doing. So we get in touch with our story, and we find something that is, as you say, something that is maybe transformational. So that, and we're sharing that for what purpose? Like, how would that benefit us? How does that brand us, and how does that benefit us? Ask questions at the same time.
So if we're talking about for like a professional or an entrepreneur who's looking to really brand themselves, storytelling is a really great way of doing that. And one of the ways that I help people do that is to do what I call is a life experience inventory, where you really mine your history, your past, for different experiences that are the most meaningful to you. And the reason why I have people do that is because 100% of the time I'm able to pick out themes or metaphors that tie to why they're doing the work that they're doing in the world. For example, I just spoke with a woman who does instructional design, and basically what that is she provides the structure for courses and academia and things like that, and I asked her to share more of her background with me, her story, and what came through was that as a child, she's a fourth generational teacher, so that says a lot about why she's doing the work that she's doing. But further than that, in order to get people to really understand why she's so passionate about learners and having and creating the best possible learning experience for learners, she shared with me that she actually went to school in a convent, actually inside of a convent, you know, with the nuns, and learned to really revere education and learning. So it really began for her at a young age, coupled with the fact that, you know, her mother was a teacher, her grandmother was a teacher, her great-grandmother was a teacher, and no TV was allowed in the house. So, you know, her main source of entertainment was reading books. She's a voracious reader even today, but it's all about the learning for her. So that was the connection piece as far as sharing that aspect of her story that really speaks to the passion that she has for the work that she does now. She's all about the learner's experience, and that's part of her brand.
Right. So what I'm hearing from this, and I think it's really important, is that, I mean, again, we have so many stories, there's so many parts of ourselves, that when we're trying to maybe home in on ourselves professionally, so if we're targeting that, but this could apply to any other area of our life, relationships, whatever the case may be, people can sometimes feel like they want to get to know themselves better or not quite certain what is their best skill or best way. Are you saying that by us, like, really cultivate, getting in touch with these stories or these story, it helps us be able to really know these parts of ourselves or bring parts or really present them to the world as our strengths, and then because once we're in touch with them, then we're more able to bring it out in the world and then create greater success in that way.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because what happens is you're really able to, a lot of times people don't understand how to explain their why. You know, why are they drawn to serve in a particular way from a business perspective, from a professional perspective. They may know on the surface level, you know, why they have an interest in it. But if they are willing to go and look at elements of their story and say, huh, that makes sense. No wonder I'm so passionate about this. And here's how I can articulate why. I can, you know, craft a story around my why. And that way, when I go out and talk to people, especially an entrepreneur, what you're really doing is you're building up the know-like trust factor, because you're handing out these connection points, these things that people can connect with, and say, oh, I understand. Mm-hmm. And it's more than him or her trying to sell me something. They're really sharing a part of themselves, and I can see the passion. I'm more likely to buy from that person because I totally get who they are and what they're about, because there's this whole undercurrent of emotion that's tied with sales, right? So you really want to be activating that emotion that also creates connection when you're talking to people, when you're writing about yourself, talking about yourself, writing your copy. All of those things are elemental pieces of your branding.
Mm-hmm. I think that what stood out for me and where my mind went when you were talking about that is that it's kind of like, you know, people have a difficulty marketing themselves, whatever it is, just generally in life or in anything. I mean, whether you're an entrepreneur or just in your career working for someone, we have to sell who we are and sell ourselves and present ourselves. And easier for us to, like, promote somebody else than ourselves. So by getting in touch with our story, by spending the time to really to know that and be familiar with it, then you have a point of one connecting with others, because the thing about everybody's storied lives is that we might, no matter how we think we're different, we all go through the same emotions, same fear, same struggles. So when you connect with yours, get to know yours, you're actually able, it creates a greater opportunity to connect and bond with others and create that safety and trust, which is where we succeed from.
Absolutely, and it creates success, and it also helps you to create success on your own terms, right? So if you're in business for yourself, for example, you know, chances are you're not going to be, nor are you going to want to be able to serve everyone. It's just not possible. And so the clearer you get on your own messaging and your own branding, then that's going to serve as a beacon for your ideal customers, your ideal buyers to find you and connect with you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that's very powerful. And I think, I mean, the whole connecting to the self, I think, is really part of what that provides for us.
Yeah.
Is that the more we can get, the better we know ourselves, the better we're aware of ourselves and where we're coming from, and getting just connected to that. Because from my work, I know how disconnected we can be as human beings and from ourselves. And so anything, the more that we can plug into ourselves, and certainly getting in touch with our story allows us to really have great tapping in more and taking that forward with us.
Yeah, so, because it's telling the story is much, mm-hmm. it's much more than you'll be able to create a powerful narrative, although that's very important. I think that, like you said, that inner work is so important, because that's going to be reflected in how you carry yourself and what you say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, okay, so how does a person get to connect with their own story? And so this could be professionally, or if it's something in terms of relationships or whatever they want to, how they want to brand themselves, because basically we are branding ourselves in every area of our life, whether we realize it or not, right?
Yeah.
How do we brand ourselves and first get in touch with that story? Because that's what listeners are going to want to know.
Yeah, like I said, I think that the life experience inventory that I have people do, that your listeners can do, is something that's really easy. It's actually something I learned in graduate school, and the purpose then was to go back and list all of our accomplishments to make us feel more confident to go and apply for jobs and things like that. And the way I use it for clients is to really, you know, go back and list all of the things in your life that are most meaningful to you. They don't necessarily have to be accolades, although if that's important to you, definitely list it. The point is, it's an exercise to be reflective, to see not only your accomplishments, but things that are most meaningful to you, and you sort of see different patterns that exist in your journey, and it's going to make a lot more sense to you as a person, and that's really what's going to help frame up your branding. And there's so many examples that I can share.
That's really important, because when you're talking about the patterns that you're seeing, then you can identify where your strengths are, and really, because then you can see them, because, again, we're living our lives, and so therefore we might not be able to really identify or connect with whatever is within us to really that we want to cultivate or home in. So that really gets us to really tap in.
Yeah,
Christian, it's been amazing. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you've offered us amazing tips, and can you wrap up with what a takeaway for the listeners that they can utilize in their lives to really tap into their story and brand themselves in their lives and create that success and power?
Yeah, so again, definitely use the life experience inventory. And then another great takeaway that your listeners can start using right away, and it's something that I share with all my clients, is especially if you're branding from, you know, a business perspective, entrepreneur, even professionally, I think this is really helpful too, especially as they, you know, people who work for other people work in professional environments and have things like performance reviews. You know, I have a background in HR, so I'm all about self-advocating and making sure that you're getting the rating that you deserve. Same thing in business. You want to make sure that you're being perceived in the way that you deserve and is meaningful. So I have a four-step framework that I share, and it's basically very easy, and it sort of emerged over time after I worked with lots of different clients and lots of different industries and niches. And these same four things emerge time and time again, but what they'll help your listeners do is frame up their story in a way that's strategic, and it's going to help them with their branding. So the first one is, number one is to share a little bit about their background.
So we don't have a lot of time, so we'll just have to hit it.
Okay, so their background, talk about who they help, what they do and why. The third thing is to be able to articulate their value.
Okay.
And the fourth thing is to talk about the results that they deliver to people.
Well, thank you so much, Christian. You've offered us a lot in terms of understanding how we can create more success through our branding. And for the listeners out there, you can find out more about Christian at her website, Christian Marie Heron, that's H-E-R-R-O-N. You can connect with her in the message board below and click on her link. So she's right there at Easy Access, and Christian works with you wherever you are, so you can find her and work with her, and time and space and distance does not get in the way. So fantastic. Thank you, Christian. Wonderful
Thank
having you.
You
here.
Thank you.
All right, so lots of wonderful strategies for branding ourselves and creating greater success. And there is more. We have some incredible insights from my next guest, Russ Terry. He's a life and career coach and author. He's going to share all kinds of interesting tips and strategies for gratitude for success. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss him.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. And my next special guest is business, life, and career coach, Russ Terry. Russ is the founder, life coach of Life Coach TV and Radio Networks, and is on a mission to make the world more grateful. Ah, love it. He is here to share with us strategies for bringing more gratitude into our lives so we can live a more magical existence. Russ, thank you for being here.
You are so very welcome. Thank you for having me on. And I know Chris Heron. She used to be a host on my Life Coach Radio Networks. Isn't that ironic?
That's so cute. I love it.
I know. And we both used to have the same corporate job, too. We both used to work at PwC, one of the big four public accounting firms, and we have the exact same mentor. Isn't that cool?
That is just, oh, my goodness. It gives a little wonderful kind of shivers in the best way possible of life synchronicity and the connections.
Yes, I know.
I love little serendipitous
moments like
that. Yeah, well, it takes us right into our topic here of gratitude, because gratitude, when we hear so much about it, it is known as a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives, whether tangible or intangible. With gratitude, people acknowledge the goodness in their lives. In the process, people usually recognize, which I like about it, that the source of that goodness lies at least partially outside of themselves. It's something that we have inside, but we're grateful for what's outside of our lives as well. And as a result, it helps people connect to something larger than themselves as individuals, whether to other people, to nature, or to a higher power. So I love that whole balance of gratitude. And so I like the idea of it not just being about a feel-good for us, but also connecting us to a society. As the author of My Gratitude Journal, why do you think gratitude is so powerful for us in so many levels, internally and externally?
Well, I certainly have experienced the power of it myself personally, and having gone through it myself, that I think puts me in the best position to share my experience with others. I'm currently about 880-some days into my gratitude experience of coming up with a different expression of gratitude every day. Almost 900. I started in December 2012. And
wow.
When we thank you, when we come up with something different that we're grateful for every day, it really opens our mind up to all the different infinite number of people, places, things, experiences, feelings that we can possibly be grateful for. And in the beginning, there's low-hanging fruit, you know, easy stuff, my health, my family, my job, etc. But once you get past that, the things keep flowing like a bountiful river. And if you think about it, we have an infinite number of experiences every single day. So once we have the aha that by articulating the gratitude about those experiences, we can have a happier life, then the world just starts becoming an amazing place. Great, more positive things happen, and we see those positive things more frequently.
There was a lot there that I really found interesting, because certainly the fact that since 2012, and you have 800 and you're going on to 900, and that really then opens the mind, because you get really out of a box. It stretches you to see things that you would never have looked at or seen, and it really creates that opportunity for just, because we can get really limited in the little box of the world that we know. So this particular strategy is really, really interesting and powerful, because we're really training our brain to really develop in a whole different way of seeing, even from smallest to the largest.
It's so interesting that you said that, because I almost always, in talking about gratitude, use the phrase train the brain. And you said it without me even having to say it. So that just shows our connection as it relates to this topic, even though we never even met before today, which is so freaking cool. But it really is possible. If people listening to this podcast can understand the value in, oh my gosh, I can train my brain to be more positive, and to not just be more positive, but more frequently express the positive experiences that are happening around me.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question that I'm sure listeners have, and I think that we can always be grateful for the good things. The challenge, of course, comes when we've been hurt, when we've been abused, when we've been damaged, and things have been really painful or difficult. We're going through difficult, challenging times. That's when we really have to dig deeper. What's your suggestions, advice, perspective on that part to help the listeners? Because that's the biggest question, of course. That's what everybody struggles with, right?
Right, and that's a fascinating question, and that actually is the best time to express gratitude, because it's going to help us in that difficult situation. So a number of examples there. Let's say a close family member develops cancer. It happened to me last year. My mom had stage 0 breast cancer, and obviously it's very upsetting. I'm not going to minimize that.
Right.
But once I stepped back and figured out what I could be grateful for in the situation, I actually came up with 5 different expressions of gratitude for my mom's breast cancer. Number 1, that I'm an entrepreneur and control my schedule, and that I could be there with her at the doctor's appointments, for moral support for her, for information finding for both of us, so that I could take notes when we were meeting with the doctor. My sister was able to be there too. My mom's significant other, he was able to be there. So I was also grateful for the additional family time that we had They live in Philadelphia, about 2 hours south of New York, and I would never have otherwise spent a Wednesday afternoon in the middle of the summer with them. So even though it was for something that was scary, the fact that we were there together strengthened our bond. I also had people that experienced cancer placed into my life 2 or 3 months prior to that experience. And they were excellent resources for me to tap into to understand what to do and what to say and how to say it and what not to say and just how to be a supporter of somebody going through a cancer experience. So I could go on and on, but it was life-changing because when you can have gratitude in a tough situation, that shows that you can handle the tough situation, and that shows the balance that we are as humans. We can have different kinds of feelings. We can be sad, but we can still be appreciative. But the two things we can't have at the same time, we can't have anger and be grateful at the same time. So if you have a situation that you're angry about, it's actually good to express gratitude for it because it'll help shift you away from the anger. And as we all know, anger is unhealthy, and you could probably do a separate show on that.
Well, there was a lot of takeaways there. That one of the things that I heard was that whole, that we're taking a positive lesson from whatever we're experiencing, no matter how difficult, like what positive part. And there's always something positive that we can learn if we start looking for it, so that we make the learning something positive versus something negative as we're going through it. And the second part, which I'm a strong advocate of, and that is really the heart of my work, is that how we can support ourselves, that we use really strong parts of ourselves to support the weaker parts of ourselves. So if we're scared, we support ourselves with encouragement. So when we're going through a challenge, we're supporting ourselves, our emotions, which is what we're struggling with. So we're supporting our emotions with gratitude. And as we keep supporting them, then we're able to move them out of that painful place.
Yes. Wow. That was excellent and so incredibly well said. Absolutely.
It's my work.
Well, clearly you know what you're doing, so I'm honored to be able to be speaking with you today. Energy attracts like energy.
Oh, no, I'm honored because it's beautiful because when you're talking about your what you're going through, I mean, even if a person hasn't had some of the cancer, we have things where we are facing loss all the time. It's a part of life. There's no way around it. We have disappointments. It's always going to go on in life, and we need to have really good strategies, and not just like strategies, but really good ways of being in this world to manage those losses. And so when you're talking about something so difficult and how you could find the gratitude, and I want to ask what that did to the environment, because that's what I led in with, because I think that we talk about so much of gratitude in terms of how it affects us, but then we're part of a humanity, and it's important that, you know, that what we're doing within shifts without. So your mother's going through this health scare. You're in a place of gratitude. How do you feel that really affected the environment around you and impacted them?
Yeah, it obviously had a positive impact, you know, and it was something where it helped her attitude, and she has a positive attitude, which, as you can imagine, her being my mother and the person who raised me, that's how I got my positive attitude. So it's contagious and infectious in a good way, just like there can be infection in a bad way. And because her nature was to be positive, that trained me to be positive. And in this situation, once I got over the initial shock and started to go through this experience, my positivity, I think, helped keep her positive and keep her supported. And just like the doctor said, you know, don't think too far in advance. Just worry about this next appointment. And, you know, as it turned out, she only had stage zero. She had the lumpectomy. She didn't have to get chemotherapy. She just had the 6 weeks of radiation, air quotes around just. She didn't have to take the cancer drug at the end of it. And now she's cancer-free. Obviously, there's some angst because her next mammogram appointment is in July, so just a couple months away. So it's been almost a year since it first, you know, we first started down this path. So as with any cancer patient, there's always angst around that. But I'm glad that it's on my radar and it's something that I can be supportive and positive around her and whatever she's going through as it relates to that.
Well, I love your sharing so much of your intimate story because it just makes it so much more personal rather than just a theoretical. This is really where we can really identify and go through like what we're going through in our lives and making that shift. And it doesn't just help us. Again, it goes out to the world and with those around us, and it really transforms the experience. And I think that's just so important, a message to pass on. Russ, what would you, how, for those who are struggling out there to be more grateful, what do you want to say to them? Like to push through the things that they're struggling with, or their own hurts, or their own pains, or their own difficulties. What are you saying, what do you want to say to them?
Yeah, you know, I was asked this exact question on an online TV appearance I made here, and I'm going to give the same answer. You're alive. You're alive, and it's, no, but in all seriousness, you're still alive, and you're able to experience this show. So clearly, not just are you alive, but you have internet access, presumably in your home or otherwise, where you're able to consume this show online or however you're listening to it today, and that is something that other people don't have. Either they've passed away, you know, and there have been a lot of tragic events in the world in recent weeks where people all of a sudden lost their lives. So you're alive, and there are other people who don't have internet access. You know, we here in North America take internet access for granted, but I even know people right here in New York City, an older gentleman who's part of one of my forthcoming gratitude books, and he just got internet access in his apartment in the last year. And gosh, if you could have heard his gratitude for that, it was amazing and inspiring. And I think there is an infinite number of things that we take for granted, and there's no judgment in that. It's just human nature. But if people who are struggling to get to be hopeful can flip and figure out what they're taking for granted, the fact that they have running water, the fact that they're alive, that they have internet access, whatever, then they can really be grateful for all those things and realize all the positive they do have in their life.
That's a wonderful takeaway message, and it's so important because it really goes back to that earlier, you know, training the brain, and it's what we focus on. And your message is so important, and it's always so needed. We can't hear it enough. Russ, I am so thankful that you've been here. You can find out more about Russ at his website, Russ Terry Life Coach. Of course, his information is in the links below in the message board. And Russ, also, you have your radio network, so the Life Coach TV and radio network, so you can also find more about him there and all of the other coaches there with tons and tons of content and information. And you're the founder of that, so you're providing so much ways for us to empower ourselves in life. So thank you for your amazing work. RussTerryLifeCoach.com. Thank you,
awesome.
Russ, for your time and your beautiful energy.
Thank you. I'm grateful that we had time and the opportunity to speak with each other today.
Me too. Have a wonderful day. Many blessings.
Awesome. You too. Thank you.
Okay, that was good stuff. Russ offered us so much insights and perspective. It's just the perspective of just tapping into what we're grateful for. And there's so many things that we can see once we open our eyes and turn our lens to appreciating all the things that we might not even be seeing because we've gotten so used to them. We have more. That's what's so great about this show. I have all these amazing people on sharing all of the incredible strategies for creating amazing lives. My next special guest is Lydia Lee. She is a lifestyle and business coach, and she's going to really shake us up with all of her insights and all of her strategies for living an amazing life.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird, and my next guest is Lydia Lee. Lydia is a lifestyle and business coach. She helps purpose-driven people discover the right business idea and bring it to life so they can quit the 9-to-5 and live a life of freedom, which is what Lydia is actually doing right now. She's here to share strategies for combining your passions with skills in order to have a life of meaning, play, and service. Lydia, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, and good morning all the way from Bali.
What a morning. Isn't this exciting? Well, I'm thrilled to have you because I know that so many people feel that there is a battle of what the heart wants and what the mind thinks is reasonable. It is seen as a battle between reason and practicality and dreams and fantasies. The latter, the dreams, the fantasies, gets a pretty bad rap in this society. Reason is revered. Lydia, how do we honor what our passions and desires reach for, but practicality seems to get in the way?
Well, you know, it's about having the conversations. And, you know, we come with head and heart, so we have to have a relationship with both. And really, at the end of the day, you know, to simplify it is to have them play nice with each other. You know, there's a lot of insight that comes from the heart and of the head as well. You know, the head's there to keep us safe, is to keep us not running in front of a truck every day, right, and keeping us alive. And the heart is there to dream. You know, it's there to go, I want you to live the most meaningful, most fulfilling life. And it dreams from that place. And then it's about figuring out how to get the head, you know, on the same course so that they can create the right actions for you to get towards the path of purpose. And I like to tell people to communicate often with both parts and find out what each part is trying to tell that person so that they can create bite-sized action, not overly risky for the brain to go, no, stop, you know, pull the handbrake, and to just do little pieces of, you know, some boundaries and some conditions that we can set with our mind, with our brain, so that the heart's still allowed to dream.
Well, that's really powerful, of course, because I think that practical part, I guess, because it's certainly, I think, because, you know, Western society is so into the head and the practicality and the reason that it can be really hard for people to trust their heart or to even value it or validate it or not think that they're just, you know, being irresponsible or being reckless.
Yes, exactly. And that's why those bite-sized action kind of conditions the brain to know that when we do little things that change our behaviors but brings us a bit more joy, we're not overly, you know, we're not jumping off a cliff here. We're taking bite-sized steps. So it conditions the mind to accept that, okay, that didn't kill us. You know, that made us a little bit happier. So it's just about, you know, playing with that space, and everyone's risk tolerance is different. And it's finding out what yours is, finding out those boundaries and setting those conditions so that you're allowed to have little things that are different.
Right. Well, I mean, you did it for sure. I mean, you were able to transform your life, and I would love to hear your story because I think that's really so did you just take a leap? Did you go through these little bite-sized moments? How did you get there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I take a lot more risks these days. I mean, like 5 years later, you know, after I quit. But definitely when I was still in that 9-to-5 job, you know, my life was pretty in a bit of a routine. You know, I didn't do too much things out of the box. So it did take some time for me to find out what those, you know, boundaries are for myself as well. So again, it was the bite-sized steps, right? So I hired a coach myself. I had to surround myself with people that were doing things that I've never done before and kind of training myself to go, oh, look at that. You know, it is possible. If these people can do it, so can I. So it was really changing my environment, changing my mindset, and changing, you know, what is actually possible above and beyond what I thought I knew at the time. So before I started my first business, you know, I was in a six-figure job, kind of the type of lifestyle and career that I've worked so hard for. You know, you've gone through university, you climbed the corporate ladder, except at that time that I climbed that corporate ladder, did all that all over time and whatnot to get up there, and the view wasn't really what I was expecting, you know.
And
the whole tipping point for me was caused by, I had a business trip in Moscow in Russia in the dead of winter, which is, that in itself is a formula for a breakdown. So I had a bit of a, you know, I was overworking at the time. I hadn't taken off a holiday for, you know, at least a year. And it was an epiphany time. And in every breakdown, there's a breakthrough. And that was the turning point for me to go, wow, I've hit rock bottom in terms of this emotional wreck. And what can I do about this? And what do I want then if this wasn't the life that I wanted?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really fascinating because, I mean, did you feel that when you were living that life, was that something that you thought you had wanted or that was prescribed for you or you thought that you should do? Like, was it, because, I mean, I think that's how we can often get stuck because we're following what we should do.
Yeah. Well, you know, my family came from Malaysia, and I immigrated to Canada at a very young age, at an age of 8 years old. So a lot of the family values of my family history was, you know, very traditional. It was go to school, get a student loan, go to university, and get a job to pay off the loan, make sure you get a house,
right.
You know, then you get married, you have babies, and then you tell them the same thing, and all over it goes again. And, you know, that was what my family had to those types of beliefs were served them, you know, in the world that they lived in. And it was my world too, because that was the influence that I received from my mother. And even till today, I still have my mother's voice in my head sometimes whenever I try to do something out of the box. And it's natural. And yeah, so I had to really look at my own values, my own belief system and decipher them. Are these really mine or are they passed on from a family? And it wasn't personal, you know, not to be angry at what was given to me, but to go, well, what would I like to see the world, you know, what perspective then would I like to see the world in? And how would I like that to change? How would I like to break that cycle of teaching my children different values and different beliefs? So it was a huge turning point for me to reconsider not just my career, but the way I was living my life. You know, the meaning of life for me and what that definition was. And that changed everything for me at that moment.
Well, that's very insightful. I mean, I guess I know what the listeners must be thinking because I'm thinking it too. So what next?
yeah, what next? Oh? Exactly. So
yes, I got something. Yeah, go ahead.
if
what happened after that, once you came to that, how did you make that transition? Because obviously if you were cushioned and in a safe place, you would have to really take that, go from the small step to the leap.
Right, exactly. So I need to find out what would I do then if I didn't want this attachment to this job title, you know, and this resume and this type of career that I was currently in. So I had to really find out what I call, you know, now what I call my sweet spot, right, which is this combination of existing strengths and skills and how can I lead from these strengths and where would I, you know, what would I focus my skills on to create a career that I really wanted? And I knew from a very young age that I was really an entrepreneur at heart, right? I was almost unemployable because every 2 years I wanted to quit.
Right.
You know, I hated rules. I didn't like corporate policy. I liked to dream and I liked to create action according to what was going to work at that moment. And I hated, you know, the whole vacation slips and whatever else that seems to be quite blocking me from taking the next step. So I had to really figure out what my sweet spot was how can I use my best skills and strengths towards a focus of passion and create value of some sort that's solving problems for other people so that they can exchange their value of money, right, for me. I needed to know business direction to go towards. So I hired a coach myself, worked with her for about 6 months to have a transition kind of exit strategy of building a business while I was still in the 9-to-5. And when that business was ready to launch and I had my first few clients, that was when it gave me confidence to quit and go, okay, this can really work. You know, it was, again, the boundaries and setting conditions that I'm not going to quit until I know that I'm going to be financially maybe not making six figures, but at least making enough that I'm surviving, right, in the world, and then being able to be confident of the business idea that it does work.
Wow. So, well, congratulations, of course, in making that transition. I mean, I think that you, what do you think that when, was the biggest thing that you changed? Was it a mindset shift, or what helped you, like, get there? Was it just that you couldn't take it anymore? What was the biggest thing that you had to change for yourself to take those leaps and basically go out on the limb to make those changes?
Well, you know, to be honest, it was a lot about self-confidence and self-value, to feel that I had value in the world, that people would find working with me, or a problem that I could solve that was valuable. And that it was self-confidence, really. You know, not an attachment to being told what to do, but this place for where I could be a creator. You know, that I had the opportunity to create something that is truly my own, and that it was valuable to other people and meaningful. And also that shift of knowing that, not that I can do any, because, you know, I had multiple types of jobs and I was good at all of them, but it was really looking at my career at finding an idea that I was designed to do. And when I say that, it's about my life experience has brought me there, or, you know, my natural skills has brought me there. It wasn't something I can do, but that I actually want to do. There's lots of things we can do, but not all of them we want to do again.
Right.
Right.
No, that's very informative, and I do love that how you founded it. The foundation of it was your sense of self, was your confidence, because self-doubt is what really gets more in our way than a lot of the practical things that we think get in the way.
Right.
That is, when you don't have the confidence or you don't have the belief in yourself, it's really hard to make those transitions, and it's really
exactly.
hard to take those risks.
And absolutely.
Even when the opportunity could arise for us.
Mm-hmm. And then also understanding that I think sometimes business ideas can come from a pain that you've solved for yourself. You know, for the longest time, I was kind of looking at business ideas that were like, how can I make money? You know, how can I just get out of this job? And that would have brought me out into a kind of a meaningless job. It'll be a glorified job, you know, like I could work for myself. But the feeling about it would still be kind of not meaningful, you know, and fulfilling. I'll be back on the same train again, in a sense. So sometimes kind of figuring out a pain that you've solved for yourself, or a personal experience you've gone through, that could give you a clue as well as to what you could build to help other people that would be in that same stage as well.
Well, one of the things that I know from, you know, working for myself and having done all of this for most of my life is that when you get really, really creative, because you do things that you wouldn't think that you would do, you explore parts of yourself that you might not even know exist because just by necessity, and then it just becomes, and those seeming blocks are really the moments for opportunities, that when that's not happening, you start to get really creative how you can make this thing work, and all of a sudden you're doing something amazing and it's working. And so it's not so much that the things aren't working, it's just that in my mind, they're just directing me to something for greater opportunity or exploring.
Sure.
That's the exciting part of it. So, well, you've offered us, I mean, what you're saying is just so inspirational. So tell us now, so you're in Bali, how did you get to Bali? How did you get there and create this just complete transformation of life?
Well, you know, Bali was a very special place for me, because after I quit my job, I went on a sabbatical, a two-month sabbatical of doing nothing, which is really hard for me as a type A person, and maybe you can relate as well. And the art of doing nothing was really amazing for me, because it offered me space to not have any expectations for things, but to really just dream and relax. And, you know, it's been so long since I had kind of gotten a holiday at the time, and so I needed that time to kind of explore. And Bali was one of the places that I went to in my two-month sabbatical. So it was always been a special place for me. So when I'm from Vancouver, you know, cost of living it's quite expensive there. And I thought as a business owner, and especially as my passion is to travel and explore and be out of the comfort zone, Vancouver didn't feel right for me at that moment in time. So I decided to sell everything actually in Vancouver and kept my house there to rent out. And I packed, you know, one bag and literally booked a one-way ticket to Cambodia first, and then I landed in Bali. And now I've been here for almost 2 years because the environment for me is, it allows me to thrive here, I feel. And everyone's environment will be different, and mine seemed to be, it pulled me here. I love living here. There's a huge community of digital nomads and kind of online entrepreneurs and very mobile people that have the same beliefs that I do, which is that life is meant to be explored. And I feel that it's such a creative hub for me to be in, to be surrounded by people just like me. And of course, if you've ever been to Bali, I wouldn't have to convince you twice why this is a great place to live. It's amazing. And I would say on a practical level, I spend about a quarter, you know, of what I used to spend in Vancouver living so much more of a healthy and fulfilling lifestyle here.
Well, I mean, what I hear from you is that you found a way to make your life work for you, that you created the change, you broke through, and you create a way to make your life work and find yourself, which is the most empowering message, whatever it is for any person, that anyone who, what we're all, it's an inspiration, and I love when these stories are on the show because it's always an inspiration. There's so many ways for us to fulfill our truth and honor ourselves and empower ourselves and create the great lives we want. And you are doing that and living that, and so it's a great story, and you're doing amazing things for others and helping them achieve that as well. So as we wrap up really quick, can you just give us, the listeners, one takeaway that they can have in their lives to really change their lives and own their own power?
Yeah, you know, I wish that I heard this one when I first started, which is really, really simply, you know, follow your curiosity, because a lot of people go, you know, follow your passion seems really daunting. You know, it's like, what if I'm not passionate about anything, or what if I don't know if I'm passionate about anything? But people know what they're curious about, what seems to spark interest, you know, in their lives currently. And your heart and your soul already knows what you want. You know, it's just waiting for you to honor it by you taking some bite-sized steps of action, you know, marrying dreams with some action towards fulfilling whatever your life is meant to be like, whether it's work or your personal life. And as you do that, more will be revealed to you once you make that choice to really live on purpose. So clues are always around you. Don't take anything for granted, even the simplest form of anything that brings you joy. There's such common themes and common threads, you know, inside of all of those things. And just take the time to really find out what it is that you really desire.
Amazing tip, and I loved it. Follow your curiosity. It really is, because that's how you connect with so much of who you are. Wow, that's been, so much information Lydia offering us. So, listeners, you can find out more about Lydia at her really fun website, Screw the Cubicle. which really pulled me in, and I go, whoa. You can find that link in the message board below. Again, crewthecubicle.com. And Lydia offers some amazing programs online, so wherever you are, you can certainly access her. She has the Real You Roadmap. It's an 8-week one-on-one coaching program that aligns your heart and skills to take you from cubicle to entrepreneur. So, absolutely, you can connect with Lydia and work with her, and she has an amazing message for you in discovering and breaking free of limitations. Thank you so much, Lydia, for your time, energy, and incredible message.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and hope your listeners got some nuggets of wisdom from that as well.
I certainly think that they did, because I did. Thank you so much.
Great. You're welcome.
Lots of tips, strategies for living and creating an amazing life. Just really tapping into who we are, finding gratitude, knowing our story. And really, as I always say, sometimes we do need to go out on that limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that we deserve. So this is once again Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights on how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, www.thewellness-network.com. Amazing people on that site. You can join the mailing list, share this joy with everyone, and Thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.